Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
While traveling along the roads of North Mississippi, be sure to spot the Oil Drop logo for your next stop. All D's Oil locations are locally owned and operated. D's Oil, where there's quality in every tank.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour and Happy New Year. Bob Getty back after a few days off. Thanks to Kelly for covering for me. Kelly Santer and Dima Mixon all with you. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad to have you for another year. Andrew Abbott about to join us. I'm happy to say to kick off the show that he has taken it off. But shamelessly, Dima Mixon, Southern Miss graduate of recent days, Southern Miss sports reporter, covers Southern Miss, comes in here wearing one of the ugliest red Ohio State jackets I have ever seen. Shame on you.
Well, I will say, to my defense, I've just got back from my honeymoon, and we still don't have all of our luggage, and it was practically the only jacket I had, and it's pretty chilly outside.
So that's, you know, kind of what? We had a guy come in here several years ago with wearing an Ole Miss coat. I see him occasionally over here at Topher's. He seems to have settled in well over there. So it's not quite that bad, but the colors startled me there for a second.
And his Ole Miss degree, too, comes in handy because he's been at Topher's now working for two or three years.
It's a graduate degree from Ole Miss, actually, I think.
Let's just not forget who's still playing football. Okay?
Not that there's anything wrong with working at Topher's. Anybody that's willing to work, which is becoming
more. Exactly. That's exactly right. All right, don't wear it in the studio.
I threw it in the trash when I walked in.
Andrew Abbott joins us. Andrew, are you a little ashamed of this man? I know he's a friend of yours.
Oh, never. I just want to congratulate him on his wedding. I had to miss it because I was sick, but you know, there's nothing. Dima can do no wrong. Everybody knows that by now.
Wow. Well, that's high praise.
Well, let me tell you, the reality has set in on Dima. He came in this morning with a sullen face and said, I've got to get a full-time job.
That's not true.
Well,
he's getting a clown.
He has to take care of a wife now.
Happy New Year.
He's got responsibilities now.
He looks tired. Does he look a little worn to you, Kelly?
We have a guest on the line. Let's talk to him.
I've never seen anybody so tired but so happy at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Andrew, other than Dima getting married, the big stories of 2025, I guess, obviously, will be the success of the football program. But there's a lot of stories that can play out between now and then. Am I correct about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got baseball season down the corner. You know, Golden Eagle basketball can pull it together. I mean, the Sun Belt's not very good, so I'd say anything can happen in that. And, you know, I'd say don't sleep on Southern Miss softball either. I mean, their schedule is ridiculous, but, you know, I think they might have something this year.
Really? So you're optimistic about that?
Yeah, I say that. Again, their schedule is absurd. I mean, you think Southern Miss baseball schedule is tough. I mean, they've got, I mean, just an endless amount of NCAA tournament teams on there. So that might hurt them, but, you know, if you win half those games, their RPI is going to be rather absurd, but we'll see. I like, from what I've seen on paper, I like where the pitching staff's at. I don't know how the lineup's going to be yet. I haven't really looked too much into it, but again, on paper, at least in softball, if you got pitching, you should be able to do something.
Right. All right. Let's get off to a good start. Let's talk about something happy in the new year. How good is the baseball team going to be, Andrew?
You know, I think they're going to be their typical selves. They'll be in the mix of trying to win the conference. I don't know if they'll be what they've been the last couple of years, just because I think this is the most amount of question marks we've had with the pitching staff. Like, you know, I don't, outside of maybe Kobe Allen, you know, in the past 2-3 years, you had maybe four or five arms that were guaranteed outs. This year, you're looking for a lot of different people to really prove themselves and take the next step. I think the lineup's going to be solid. It's not going to have the power of last year, which is kind of saying something since it didn't have as much power last year. But there's a lot of veterans in that lineup, and I think this is going to be a team that, kind of like last year, is going to be hitting for average, and you know, they're going to make their money on getting on base and taking advantage of base hits. But, you know, again, I think the talent's there. I just think it's going to take them a while to kind of put it together, as they normally do, but their non-conference schedule is really rough. So we might not see it translate right away, but, you know, with the way their conference schedule shapes up, you know, you'd like to think they're going to be rolling by the time the Sun Belt tournament rolls around.
Andrew, I want to talk a little bit about football, and I consider myself an average sports fan, but now because of the landscape,
I thought we were starting off the new year happy.
Well, no, it is good because, I mean, you would think
diverted from baseball to
based
football.
On who's coming to Hattiesburg, okay. You know, those guys did pretty well. But that leads me to my question. We're now, and again, this is not a slam on Southern Miss. This is just college football in general. We now, as Eagle fans, are expected to embrace guys that just 2 months ago we were cheering against.
Yeah, yeah. The Southern Miss Thundering Eagles.
So how do you think the average fan is going to look at that, at their particular school, when they see rosters just completely changed or flipped in a year, potentially?
The same way everybody else does. If they win, they don't care. I mean, that's the bottom line. If this team puts out just a winning record at this point, but if they've got eight or nine wins and they're in the mix for the Sun Belt, I don't think a single person's going to care.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same way when you think of it with Charles Huff coming here. I mean, the fan base embraced him almost immediately. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we rooted against him in November 13th, and now we don't like him. Yeah, everybody wanted him. But I do think it's a little bit different, Andrew, in this scenario, because if you think of like ULM, when they brought in all those transfers from so many different schools.
From one school.
You know, this is basically just Marshall at Southern Miss now, when you have however many players and personnel coming from one school. I do think this is a bit of a different, I guess, sell, if you will, for a Southern Miss fan to just be like, all right, I guess we're rooting for the team that came in as Hattiesburg and beat the crap out of us.
Well, I mean, Indiana was just James Madison, right? I mean, you can look at any team that hired away a coach as sitting head coach, and they're basically ex-coach 2.0. I mean, Indiana's probably the best example. It's just the best I got on the top of my head, but, I mean, they've had, what, like 13 starters with them. I think three-fourths of that coaching staff was from James Madison. I mean, it's the new landscape. And, again, I don't think anybody's going to care if they're winning.
No.
Now, if they're losing, then it'll be a different ballgame.
I don't know. I've always respected your opinion, Andrew, but the little piece of this, I mean, one of the things that Will Hall always sold was the fact that there's so many Mississippi guys on the team. It was easy to embrace guys from Mississippi. Now, obviously, the results are what they were, but it's, to me, I just think the average fan, it's difficult to really emotionally attach yourself to a bunch of guys that are from Virginia, North Carolina, you know, Maryland, where all these guys are coming from. And maybe as a younger fan, it's not that big of a deal. But to us older guys, you want to kind of have that emotional attachment. Where last year 85% of the roster was from Mississippi, we might have 10 or 15% by the time the roster shakes out next year. Or am I just too emotional about it?
I think you're too emotional about it. I think what fans want to see is kids that stick around for 2-3 years make a career of themselves. I mean, those are the people that you're going to remember anyway. Look at Gabe Montenegro. He was from Guatemala. People still love him. I think that's kind of what it boils down to in college. If you're sticking around, which we don't see as much anymore, obviously, and you somehow make a name for yourself, then, you know, people are going to respect that. I mean, Frank Gore Jr., they're going to love him forever. He's from Miami. And I know the name helps, but you know, he definitely embraced Hattiesburg. Matt Wallner, there's another one. Minnesota, you know, that's another all-time great. I mean, I don't think that matters so much in college. It helps if you're local, sure. I'm not going to deny that. But, you know, if you stick around and embrace the city and, make it part of your identity, I don't think people are going to care where you're from.
All right, so to sum things up, your first interview of the new year, you're predicting that the Southern Miss softball team will win the conference and the World Series is there to grab for the Golden Eagle baseball team. Is that what I interpreted from this interview, Andrew?
No.
Hey, I will say Andrew did a story about a year ago when he did like his predictions, bold predictions for the new year, and he almost nailed most of them, if I remember correctly.
I did write that again this year. I just haven't published it yet.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Hey, Andrew, always good having you on the show, man. It's a great way to start out the new year, and we'll be calling on you regularly. By the way, Dima's looking for full-time work in case you run across something. He's a married man now, and the reality of life has set in, Andrew.
You know, all I have is a little wiener dog, so I cannot speak on the married life.
All right, Andrew. Thank you. Andrew Abbey, everybody. Can I get you some coffee or something? You just really look tired.
Andrew talked about how the Sun Belt Conference basketball-wise isn't very strong. Well, the Golden Eagles continue conference play tonight when they go to James Madison and the voice of the Dukes. Dave Riggert will be joining us when the Eagle Hour continues after this timeout.
You okay, Damon?
I'm good.
Okay.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, that opening segment with Andrew Abbey was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue. Great supporters of our program and the Southern Miss Athletic Department. And we're happy to say all of our sponsors are back for another year, including Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net down on Hardy Street. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg, and we're glad you're with us to kick off a new year. Southern Miss basketball back in action tonight. They'll be on the road. They'll be taking on Old Dominion, and we have the
James Madison.
James Madison, yeah. I'm sorry. And we have the play-by-play voice for the Dukes, Dave Riggerts. And Dave, thanks for joining us. What kind of ball team is Southern Miss going to be facing tonight?
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to be in the other H-burg. We're in Harrisonburg here tonight.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be interesting because these are two teams that have struggled a little bit up to this point. And obviously JMU, they've got a brand-new basketball team, a new head coach in Preston Spradlin coming over from Moorhead State. And I think they thought, and I think we all thought around here, that they would be better than what they are right now. They're still trying to kind of figure things out. There's only one scholarship player off of last year's team that's still around, and that's Xavier Brown. He's starting for the team. He was on the team that made the second round of the NCAA tournament last year and won the conference tournament. Other than that, it's a brand-new basketball team. Mark Byington went to Vanderbilt and is doing really good things with the Commodores now. And so this is a brand-new basketball team. So Coach Spradlin and his staff came from Moorhead State. They had to rebuild the roster, and they did that. They brought in some talented guys, but it hasn't really meshed yet, and they're not quite as deep as what I think we originally thought they were going to be. So it's a very inconsistent team. At times, man, 2 weeks ago, they played at Wake Forest, and they were playing lights out in the first half. They were playing elite defensively. They were up by eight and playing against a team out of the ACC that was picked to finish third, and they were up eight playing great basketball. second half, they just got hammered and were terrible. So it's just been very inconsistent with this team. They show glimpses on offense that they can really shoot it, and then they score 49 points against South Alabama in their Sun Belt opener against 40 minutes of zone and can't shoot the lick out of the basketball. Then they show great things defensively, and then they give up 60% shooting to a non-Division I team in Midway in the second half last Sunday. So it's a very inconsistent basketball team, similar to what Southern Miss, I think, is right now.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I was going to ask you about that, you know, South Alabama game where, you know, losing by 27 and not even getting to 50 points, and then the next week getting to 96. I mean, it's just kind of just crazy when you think about it. And Southern Miss, very similar, where you know, they've shown that they can beat a Sun Belt opponent, beating Marshall at home, and then William Carey struggling a little bit in that game. But I mean, Southern Miss, Kelly, on the road has just looked terrible this year.
Yeah, that's putting it nicely.
Yeah,
they've dug themselves some big holes early, and I know that's what the Dukes will be looking for tonight. As far as getting a coach from Moorhead, Southern Miss has done that before. Donnie Tindall, of course, came to Southern Miss from Moorhead. So Moorhead seems to be a really good place for basketball coaches to. You know, get started in the game. But I want to talk a little bit about, Dave, about Bryce Lindsey, because there's two guys that have really made their teams go. Lindsey has made your Dukes team go, and Denaje Harris for Southern Miss has had a phenomenal season so far. So this could be fun tonight between Lindsey and Denaje Harris.
I can't wait to see Harris play. When he goes for 32 and 23, I don't care who you're playing. It can be a non-Division I team. It can be my son's fifth-grade team. It doesn't matter. Go for 32 and 23. That's a big-time performance. And to go 20 and 20 two different times this year is pretty unbelievable. So I'm excited to watch him play. But Bryce Lindsey is kind of – he's, I don't know that he's a diamond in the rough, but he's a guy that went to IMG Academy. He's from Baltimore, so he's about 3 hours from here. And he's a guy that was – fairly highly recruited, but went to Texas A&M, got hurt, didn't play a lot, obviously, got a red shirt, and then he shows up here in the offseason, and we weren't really sure what to expect. We thought he'd be a solid player, but boy, he's been better than advertised, and he's the best shooter that I have ever seen in person. I go to practice a lot, and he barely ever misses. It's amazing to watch this kid shoot the basketball, and at one game this year, he was 10 for 11, and he was 6 for 7 on threes. He's a guy that's about 45% from three right now, and that's actually dropped down a little bit. He was right around 50% for a while, but he's maybe the most talented offensive player that I've seen that can just score the basketball when he wants to. He's a great shooter, and he's starting to become more of a complete player. So I think that's something that they like with him. He's very coachable. He's come in and really taken a Coach Spradlin and his coaching staff, so he can get red hot. If you leave him open, it's almost good every single time. It's amazing to watch him play, but he's been a huge addition to this team, and I think a pleasant surprise. He leads them in scoring off the bench, and they kind of like that role. He's getting starter minutes, but he's coming off the bench right now, and he's an unbelievable offensive player.
Well, Dave, you talked about the inconsistency of the Dukes, but, man, when you look at the way they're able to score, I mean, they're among the Sun Belt leaders in three-point shooting, rebounding margin, free throw percentage, and three-point percentage. They're almost pushing 40% from the three-point area. That's problematic for Southern Miss or for anybody for that reason.
Well, it might be, but they were 7 for 30 against South Alabama when they played zone for 40 minutes. So I'm guessing some teams will play zone. They've seen almost exclusive zone against South Alabama, Norfolk State, and Towson, and those are three losses on the road. You guys mentioned that Southern Miss has been bad on the road. Well, Jam, you haven't won a road game either, so it's a good thing that at least one of these two teams is at home tonight, because otherwise we may not see anybody score or win the basketball game. But it's even against Midway, it's a non-Division I team on Sunday, their last time out, they were playing great early in the game. I know it's a non-Division I team, but still, they were 7 for 8 shooting threes. They were taking great shots, making the extra pass, not a good shot, a great shot, and they were shooting it great. Second half, they go 3 out of 15, and they're just kind of jacking shots and not playing very well. So even in that game, I know they were up big, but still they were very inconsistent. They gave up 41 points, and I think the one thing, offensively, they are pretty skilled, but at least that's a product of their defense. I think most teams it is, but for this team especially, Coach Spradlin thinks that his team is one of the best in the country, not just the Sun Belt, but in the country when they get in transition. But the bad thing with that is they've got to get stops defensively to get into transition. They're not getting enough stops defensively right now. Like I mentioned against Wake, they were elite at times defensively, and then they couldn't stop anybody, and Wake shot 65% in the second half, and that was the same thing. Midway shot over 50% in the second half in their game on Sunday. So their offense, it's probably more consistent than the defense, but the defense has to be the calling card for Coach Spradlin. When he took the job, his first press conference was about defense, and that's a hallmark of his teams. And it's been the thing that I think he's probably been most frustrated with is their buy-in on that side of the basketball, that they have the talent to do it, they have the length to do it, the size to do it, but they're not getting many stops right now. And the other part of that with the offensive side of the inconsistency against South Alabama, they had 15 turnovers, 14 were steals. So those are live ball turnovers, which lead to offense for the other team. It's not just a throw out of bounds or a travel or something. It's a steal. And then even against Midway, they had, I think it was 12 turnovers, and all 12 were steals. So they're all live ball turnovers, which they can avoid that, and just they're leading to too many easy baskets for the other teams right now, and that's part of the frustration with Coach Spradlin.
I know we're talking basketball. The game is at 6 o'clock tonight at JMU, but I'd be remiss, Dave, if I didn't ask you what the Dukes Nation response was to the incredible season that Coach Cignetti had up in Bloomington with the Indiana Hoosiers.
It depends which JMU fan you ask. I'll start with my opinion first, and I was kind of proud of Coach Cignetti, and especially the guys that 13 guys left with Coach Cignetti from JMU to play for him at Indiana, and so I obviously got close with that entire coaching staff and those players, so I was happy for them. It was fun to see their success, and I know how much hard work they put in here, there, and just the type of people they are, so I was very happy with that. Most of JMU Nation and our fans, I think similar to Southern Miss fans, they're fanatics and probably not realistic. So they were unhappy with kind of how Coach Cignetti left, kind of his brash speak, just kind of how he talks now. He's different now at Indiana than what he was at JMU. He's cocky, and he wasn't like that at JMU right until the very end. So they don't like that. They don't like how he ends. He never thanked JMU when he left. So there's a lot of bitterness with a lot of the fan base. So I think they wanted him to lose, and they were not happy with him having success. So I think that's probably the sentiment of the most fans. But I think the realistic fans, and myself included, we were happy for what he did because, again, he gave 5 great years at JMU and helped continue the tradition and the history of JMU football.
Well, I Googled him, and it looks like he no, I'm just kidding. No, he really did have a good season, and I was able to Google some other stuff of him, his, and I did notice that he did not have that cocky spirit that he had at Indiana, at James Madison, that he does now at Indiana. And really all that started towards the end of the year. It wasn't even really like that towards the beginning of the year for Indiana. That was probably because, you know, they weren't really, you know, at the level they were until they played Ohio State and teams like that.
All right, Dave, we sure appreciate it, man. We'll all be tuned in tonight watching the game. Hopefully somebody will win.
I think it'll be a good one, so hopefully we just have an entertaining game. But thank you, fellas.
Thank you, buddy. Dave Riggert, everybody, from James Madison University. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Campus Bookmart, Dickie's Barbecue Pit, and 4th Street Bar and Grill for bringing us the first three segments of the show. 4th Street, great place to take a break from all the Christmas food and go get a good meal. 4th Street Bar and Grill. All the big weekend games will be on the TV as well. Hey, want to say Happy New Year to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Mobay Beignet Company, where we love the dessert, to 2902 Hardy Street, and Into Bay Spring Water, where you'll find fresh-tasting water from Stone County, Mississippi, and Walmarts and corner markets around the area. And want to thank all those great people for their support of our program. Don't forget about our podcast as we begin a new year on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I'll get some figures and find out how many people downloaded the podcast in the whole of 2024. I think that would be very interesting.
Did you say how many people were loaded?
No, downloaded the podcast.
Oh.
I see nothing has changed with you in the new year, has it? Does he look different to you, Kelly?
He hasn't stopped smiling.
No, he doesn't look the same to me. Yeah. He looks so serious now, so worldly.
Yeah.
So mature.
And for a guy now that is just
so
worried. In a couple of days has lost half of his belongings.
Oh my God.
Wow. Do you think you'll ever find your clothes again, or does it matter?
Oh my goodness. You mean the luggage coming in? Mm. It was supposed to be here today, so maybe we'll get it. Mm.
Yeah, I went to an airport one time, and they said, do you have any bags to check? I said, yes, I have three. I want this one to go to Toledo, Ohio, this one to go to Detroit, Michigan, and this one to go to Chicago. And they said, we can't do that. I said, yes, you can. You did it last time I flew with you guys. Yeah.
That joke didn't land.
Oh, it never took off either.
You know. How about that?
He'll be here all week.
It was like mechanical.
Where's my ding? I need a ding for that one.
I don't know how to pull it up. No one's here to show me.
Computer was giving us issues before the show.
Yeah,
I think
so. Bob's. I'm afraid to touch it.
Yeah.
Look, something weird. Just don't even touch it.
No. We were talking off air a little bit earlier with Dave Riggert, the voice of James Madison, and one of the things that he pointed out, which we've touched upon briefly on this show, is the perceived overall weakness of the Sun Belt when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, I want to go back to something actually we were talking about before we get to that. I want to go back to something that we were talking about with Andrew, because I don't know if I necessarily agree with what he was saying about it being really easy for Southern Miss fans to just embrace the new players coming in.
Well, and I tried to make that point.
Because yeah. I think that he's right. Like Indiana, you know, it's Indiana. You know, they're not expected to be great at football, but it's a Big Ten school. You know, and if they're going 10-0, they get in the playoff. I mean, that's what happened. Southern Miss is such a different conundrum than Indiana, and not even to mention the fact that all of these players are coming from one school that you consistently play. James Madison in Indiana, I don't know if they've ever played football before.
I think that's a great point.
You know, this is a team that is in your conference, a team that you just rooted against five weeks ago. So I think this is a lot different. You know, and I think it would be different if, you know, you got a player from California, if you got a player from Marshall, if you got a player from Boise State, whatever it is. You know, that's different. But having all these transfers, and then all the coach, it's just, like you said, the thundering Golden Eagles. I think it's a lot harder.
You make a great point. And I want to ask you this, Dean, because there's obviously an age difference in Kelly and I and you, and Kelly kind of touched on this point. Is this a generational thing? I mean, is it people our age that are finding it difficult to watch college football when it seems like every player announced is a transfer from here, a transfer from there? What you just pointed out, that you virtually have the Marshall football team now wearing Southern Miss uniforms in the fall. Is this a generational issue? I mean, do younger fans your age just find this okay?
Well, no. You know, it's for me, it's like, it's good to get like one good player out of the transfer portal. Like 1 to 2. That's what I think it was designed for. Getting whole teams in the transfer portal to me is very different. And so, like, you know, one thing that's so great about college football is you get to see a player develop from being a freshman to being your franchise-leading quarterback. That's not a thing anymore in college athletics. But in a place like Southern Miss, you would think that that would be a somewhere where that can still happen. But the problem is that that's not happening anymore. Nobody's going to know any of the players on Southern Miss's team next year.
And
nobody's going to know. But you knew who Austin Davis was. You knew who Ito Smith was. You knew who blah, 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 because they were in the program.
So what do you think is the long-term effect of this on college football?
I think people's will develop to it, and I think that, you know, like, it's going to get more normal. But now what you're used to seeing, a great example is Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins was in Southern Miss football through those tough years of 13, 12, 14. You know what he did in 2015 and 16? He led Southern Miss to beat Kentucky. He led them to the conference championship game. It was somebody you can root for and one of the quarterbacks that everybody roots for now. You know, this Marshall quarterback coming in, he's a great player. He's a fantastic player, actually. You know, he's undefeated as a Marshall player, whatever. It's hard for Southern Miss just to start rooting for that guy now. I really think it is. You know, you want him to be on your team, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's just like, you know, if one of but, help me with this.
But the argument could be made, well, why is that any different than the pros? I mean, Green Bay fans and New York Jet fans didn't cheer for Aaron Rodgers until he became a Jet, and all of a sudden he's our guy.
Do we want college football to become another NFL?
But again, this goes
isn't back, that what's already happened?
No, happened. But this goes back to my argument. That's one player. Like I said, it's good for you to get one or two good players out of the portal, but it's not like the Jets said, all right, we're going to take the entire Green Bay Packer team,
you're right,
the coaches as well, and put them on the Jets.
And he makes such a great point, Kelly, and this is what I'm having some trouble with, what you just said. 15, 16 players from Marshall, four or five coaches from Marshall. Who are we? Are we Marshall? Are we Southern Miss? And what's going to happen in 2 years – if Coach Huff has the success we all hope, is he going to take the entire Southern Miss football team with him to the next school?
Here's the problem. To me, and this is just my opinion, this isn't me speaking for Coach Huff or any of the fan base. It just sends a message that you can't develop a team anymore at this level.
I think you're right.
And he came in knowing he is not going to win without his players at Marshall.
And you made a good point. We were picking at you about following Ohio State, which I think you've done your whole life. And yes, you said that Ohio State hadn't lost many players. So are we seeing more of this ill effect on the smaller schools than the bigger schools?
Yeah, and everybody talks about Ohio. And I'm just going to mention Ohio State here. And I know that this is a Southern Miss show, but everybody talks about Ohio State, the best team money can buy. If you look at their defense, almost every player outside of two players have been there for 4+ years.
But that doesn't mean they're not getting paid.
It's not about money. It's about development and watching a player you can root for 4 years and getting to know that player instead of just picking off a player from a random school. It's not about money. It's not about money.
Come on, Dima.
People can have. I don't have a problem with the players getting paid at all. That should happen. It's the problem of, you're going to take an entire team and bring them to your university and force your fan base to start rooting for that team. One to two players, to me, isn't a problem.
But you're talking about development, and I understand they want to play in the NFL, and Ohio State has a great record of putting players in the NFL.
Yeah.
But development or not, are you telling me if an Ohio State player got a call today from Oregon, offer him twice what he was getting at Ohio State, he wouldn't go, regardless of his development?
Well, he probably would.
So it does have to do with some money.
What I'm saying is... that Ohio State, in the grand scheme of things, has consistently kept most of their players. Not a lot of people transfer out of Ohio State. Now, it's possibly because it is Ohio State and it's a big thing. Most people transfer into Ohio State.
And, Bob, you were talking about, you know, Dave Riggert mentioned that Kurt Cignetti took like 15 players from JMU to
just distasteful.
15. Again, but that's a low number at Southern Miss. I think when it all shakes out, Coach Huff will have closer to 30 players here.
But again, JMU and Indiana are not the same as Southern Miss and Marshall. It's just not. You can't make that same argument because JMU and Indiana, 4 years ago, JMU wasn't even a Division I school. Like, it's a completely different argument than USM and Marshall, who already has a rich history of playing each other, and you're bringing the entire coaching staff.
I think all three of us are agreeing that this is not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. But, again, Andrew is right that if Southern Miss goes 12-0 next year and goes to the college football playoff, nobody's going to bat an eye.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
You're just not going to be able to emotionally attach to some of these guys like you did in the past.
Correct.
You better get their autograph next year.
No, that you watched year after year after year. We still, thank God, we still can experience that on our baseball program. Kids that we watch play their entire career at Southern Miss. And I worry that that's the next sport that's going to fall. So that's craziness.
But even in baseball, when you see the transfer portals, you'll see 1, 2, 3, maybe three.
Not a whole team. You're right. Right.
You're talking about bringing almost the entire starting lineup of Marshall to Southern Miss.
That's why when we had Jeremy on the show right after the announcement, I asked him, is there a limit to the number of players that you think this man will bring from Marshall? And if you remember, his answer was no. No, there's not.
And there's nothing in the rule book that says you can't do that.
No.
Essentially, when it comes to that, there is no rule book.
And something they were talking about on College Game Day that I still think I'm actually is for is having some kind of college football commissioner to have somebody who can, where it's not just conferences figuring it out. Everybody follows what the commissioner says. Maybe that is a Nick Saban. Maybe that's somebody else. Maybe that's a panel, whatever. But having some kind of overriding authority over the transfer portal and the NIL would be wonders for this sport.
Just don't book a reservation at Nick Saban's VRBO. He's really good on TV commercials.
That's a great commercial.
Yeah, he's really good on TV
commercials. Are we done talking basketball? We have a game tonight.
News and notes next on the Super Talk Eagle Eye.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Don't let us forget now the women's basketball team is in action right here in Hattiesburg tonight. They play James Madison.
Old Dominion.
Yeah, that's where you got the Old Dominion
That's where I got it.
And I was going to get to that had we not gotten off on this tangent. As good of a conversation as it was, I might add, but we were going to talk basketball.
All right, so game tonight at 6 o'clock, Old Dominion 9-4, Southern Miss 5-7. Hope that Coach McNellis can get back on the floor. And I think they also play this weekend as well. All right, news and notes. Damon, have you got it in you? Can you get five more minutes out of it before you run taking that back on the couch?
All right, news and notes. The Sun Belt slate tonight, as we mentioned, for basketball. Southern Miss on the road at James Madison. Troy on the road at App State. Louisiana, who's just looked terrible in basketball, 3-10, which is surprising for that program.
Right.
On the road at Coastal Carolina. ULM on the road at Georgia Southern. South Alabama on the road at Georgia State. Texas State on the road at Marshall, and then Arkansas State, which has by far looked like the best Sun Belt team, 10-3, on the road at Old Dominion. That's the Sun Belt men's slate. Then the women's slate for Sun Belt basketball, Old Dominion, as we mentioned, coming here to Hattiesburg tonight at 6 p.m. App State at South Alabama, Coastal Carolina 10-1 at Troy, James Madison at UL, Georgia Southern at ULM, Marshall at Arkansas State, Georgia State at Texas State. And we did mention earlier in the show, we'll mention again, Logan Cook, Pro Bowl selection from Mississippi State High School.
With the Jaguars.
Yes.
In Jacksonville, he's going to be in the NFL All-Pro. They still call it the All-Pro game.
Yeah, All-Pro game. So great selection for him, and Mississippi boy right there. Also, some somber but also sweet news this morning as – I just had it up. My phone is going crazy. But if you remember the tragedy that we covered over the summer with MJ Daniels losing his life tragically, his son, Isaiah Lee Daniels, was born today, the family announced. And he was born today, so the family gets to enjoy that on a January 2nd. So Isaiah Lee Daniels was born this morning.
So where the Lord closes the door, he opens a window or whatever.
That's right. And the Facebook post from MJ Daniels' mother was, look at Isaiah and his daddy. Oh, MJ Daniels would have been so proud today, and I know he still is.
Well, that's bittersweet.
Yeah.
That's really bittersweet.
You know, talking with Dave Riggert earlier, and you guys, and Dima, you were going over this with the schedule. Sunbelt has a real problem when it comes to basketball, because this is not a good league. There are some teams that are dreadful. You mentioned Louisiana, who fired their coach, you know, four or five games into the season. I mean, when does that happen? You know, that now coaches have resigned because of the NIL and transfer portal and all that, but to be fired that early in the season, they are awful. Georgia State, horrific, just terrible in basketball. And it doesn't bode well when Keith Gill, the commissioner, is trying to prop up this league to hopefully someday become a two-team selection into the field. Now, if the field expands, which it looks like the NCAA is going to continue to increase the number of teams in the tournament, that would bode well under normal circumstances, but it does not appear that the Sun Belt overall is getting better in basketball. In fact, it looks to me like it is digressing, and that is a concern.
Is that just men's basketball? Is it a pretty decent league on the women's side?
I mean, I think they're about as good as they've always been, you know, but the men's league is just terrible. I mean, it's almost unexplainable in a sense where, you know, you have several teams or you expect to be decent, such as Louisiana, South Alabama, App State, teams that have consistently, even Marshall. Marshall, I mean, made the tournament a few years ago. And so teams like that are just terrible. It's honestly kind of shocking.
But it goes back to kind of what Dave Riggert was talking about earlier, and we were talking about, although in a football context, any player that is anybody is going to get plucked. You know, in basketball.
Especially in basketball.
Yeah, and when you're a mid-major, if you'll pardon the expression, like Southern Miss is, like some of these, you got a good guy. I mean, Denaje Harris, you know, showed promise. Arkansas went and pulled him. Now, we got him back, and boy, aren't we glad
we
got him back.
I mean, if he wasn't on this team.
Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of hard to believe when you really think about it that Southern Miss has only made the NCAA tournament in basketball once in the last, what, 25 years?
Yeah,
or longer,
maybe even longer than
yeah.
Have they made it more than 2012 in this since the 2000 swing?
What
88? I think they made it the year after the NIT team. I think they got beat by North Carolina State at Maryland.
I think one time.
Yeah. One time since 2000, right?
I think that's crazy. That's right.
I mean, that's just crazy.
And boy, that's a lot of lost money too. That's a lot of money for athletic departments when you can make the NCAA regional basketball tournament.
And really, the Sun Belt team. The lone Sun Belt team that has made it in the past has performed well. You know, I mean, James Madison last year got in, you know, they did well. Yeah. They
almost won, right, the first game?
Yeah, well, they won over Wisconsin, who was the number 5 seed.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so the one team that gets in there tends to do pretty well. But, man, when you look at the league this year, all the media guys have said the same thing. The overall product that they see on the floor is not what it was last year, and it was only slightly above average last year.
All right, women in town tonight, 6 o'clock tip. Men on the road, 6 o'clock tip. And the women will be here Saturday as well. So there's some women's basketball here in town. And glad to be back with you guys. Thanks for handling things while I was gone. And glad to have all of our sponsors and listeners back. We look forward to a great year here on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock with more Southern Miss Sports Talk. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.